Money will buy you a bed, but it won't buy sleep. Money can buy you some books, but it won't buy you brains. Money can buy you food, but not an appetite. Money can buy you some makeup, but you can't purchase real beauty. Money can buy a house, but it can't buy a home. Money can buy medicine, but you can't purchase health. Money can get you some luxuries, but it can't really provide comfort. Money can get you some amusements, but no amount of money in the world can purchase joy. Money can buy religion, but not salvation. Money can get you an IRA, but it cannot assure you retirement. Money can get you some stocks and bonds, but not security. Money's highly overrated in our life. When we get to heaven, you won't need any. You'll be rich. Say, with what? With Jesus. I'm going to talk this morning. My sermon is quite simple. It'll be easy to follow. It's called, Do You Love Your Money? Do you love your money? Take your Bible, please, and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Once you arrive there, I'd like for you to stand with me, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to start at verse number 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 6. And the Bible says, 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10 is the text verse. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The first part of that verse, for the love of money. For the love of money. Let me pray for us. Holy Spirit of God, get a hold of somebody's heart. Help them to realize that they are a little too much involved in the money of life. God, might you always take the preeminent position in our lives. Holy Spirit of God, help us now. God, you know my heart. I don't preach this sermon just because we're trying to raise money. But Lord, it's a truth of the Bible. It could be preached in a non-fundraising time, and it's still the truth. Now bless us and help us. Help us to take seriously and personally what is taught and preached from thy book today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. Hey, do yourself a favor. Examine yourself today. I have to keep an eye on me, and I've got to make sure that I keep me right with God. I will tell you this, a long, long time ago, I had to make a decision about money. Everybody under the sound of my voice, money is allowed to be an issue in your livelihood. It's not in mine. I can't say to you, well, I'm not going to work if you don't give me pay. And if you don't pay me enough, I'm not going to do the work of the Lord. You'd all say, that's ridiculous. What kind of pastor would ever let money? You're right. You're right. But did you know that for some reason we all then think that it's okay for our lives to be all about money? But God never intended that. God never intended that. Listen to me very carefully. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10, it teaches us that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now it does not say that money is the root of all evil. Some people misinterpret that. No, it's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money. And God is saying, I'm not sure you're supposed to love money. Now, some would say, well, as long as you don't love it above God, I'm not even sure you're supposed to love money at all. I don't know that it's worth loving. Let me read another verse to you. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 38, it says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. See, we're not to love money, but we're to love God. God gives a lot of teaching about love. Stay with me. Let me show you some teaching about the subject of love. And remember, God said you're not to love money, but you're to love me. And let me show you, though, some very quick verses that teach about our love and what is love all about. For instance, some characteristics of love. In John chapter 14, verse number 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." All right? So if you love God, you will keep his commandments. That's an easy teaching. In John 15, verse 13, it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." What that means is, you say, "Lay down my life." Do you mean die? No, it actually means you lay down your life, or you give of your life for those things that you love. Okay? So you say, that's not talking about me dying. Well, it might include that, but what it's really talking is, it's talking about you giving up your life because you give a portion of your life, you release that part of your life because you love somebody or you love something. So, he said, we lay down our life for that which we love. In Romans 13:10, it says, "Love worketh no ill." What does that mean? Love does not want to hurt its object. If you love something, you don't want to hurt the object of your love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So here the Bible's telling us that love causes us to serve the object of our love. So we're going to obey that which we love. We'll lay down our life for that which we love. We don't want to hurt that which we love. We are going to serve that which we love. Philippians 2:1 says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ Jesus, if you have any comfort of love." Now the Bible tells us that love, that which we love, tends then to provide us comfort. There is comfort in love. Then 1 John 4:8 says, "There is no fear in love." Now the Bible tells us that the purest form of love removes fear. It provides security. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." Now it tells us that if you love something, it's going to cause you to want to labor. It's going to cause you to want to give yourself to it. Now, I look at all those things. God said, love. Love causes us to obey. Love causes us to give of our life. Love will work no ill. It doesn't want to hurt the object. Love causes us to serve. Love provides comfort. There's no fear in love. In other words, it provides security. And then it causes us to labor. Now, all those things are about love. And God said, "I want you to love me." So all those things are to apply to the things that we love. Now, I wonder if we take those truths about love, and I wonder if we just happen to apply them to money. Let's see if we love money. I think that makes sense. If God said the love of money is the root of all evil, God is saying, and I make sure, ushers, that you attend to the door for me. God is saying, if you love something, then you're going to behave a certain way toward it. Everybody look right at me. Look right at me. Okay, let's find out if this comparison is right. Let's find out if we love money based on the truths that we just glanced at real quick about loving God and loving appropriately. For instance, number one, if you love money, you'll obey it. For instance, John 14, 15 said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." God said proper love. If you love God, you're going to obey God, which would mean that if you love something, you'll obey it. I think, children, if you love your parents, you're going to obey them. But wait a minute. Do you love money? Has money become your God? Do you obey it? Has money become your leader? Has money become your boss? Is it money from which you receive most of your orders? Is money commanding things of you? Has money become your controller? Did you know that you are to control money, not it control you? Do you obey money or your desire for it more than you obey God and your desire for Him? Does your money overwhelm your decision making? There are people in this room, you make some decisions based on money that ought to be being based on God and His Word. But you're obeying money. Has money become your commander in chief? Has money become your life's authority? Has money became your dictator? Is money your king? Is money the one that's in charge of you? Do you obey money instead of obey the Bible? Do you obey money over God's plan for church attendance? Has money become your master? Are all your decisions bounced off of money first? The Bible says the love of money is a root of all evil. God said you're not supposed to love money, you're supposed to love me. But wait a minute. If all we have to do is examine the characteristics of proper love. And if those characteristics are showing up and are being expressed by you toward money, that must mean you love money. You say, well, I don't love money. Well, you can say what you want, but did you know that your actions are a little louder than your words? You ever heard the old saying, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. If you love money, then you will obey money. Secondly, earlier we examined John 15:13, where it says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Let's apply that now to money. If you love money, you will give your life for it. You'll give your life for it. Now remember, this is not speaking of dying, but it's giving your life to something. When you love something, you give your life to it. You give your time to it. Hey, is your bank account more important than your God? Is your savings account more important than Jesus? Are your investments more important than God? Is your 401k or your IRA or your financial portfolio, is that bigger, more important than God? Is that what you have given your life to? This means you give up other things to give your life to the object of your love. If you love money, you'll give up other things while you're busy giving yourself to money, giving yourself to making money. For instance, do you love money so much that you give your life to it, but you do not give your life to your husband? Do you know how many marriages have been messed up because somebody loved money? They were so busy making money. They were giving their love to money, but not giving their love to their wife. They were busy giving their love to making money, but not busy giving their love to their husband. All I'm saying to you is, if you love money, there are things that you will give up to make money that you shouldn't have gave up, that you were supposed to be loving instead of loving money. Do you love money so much that you give your life to it and you don't give love to your children? Do you know how many people are busy making money? Money, 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 money. Bigger car, bigger house, bigger bank account. Their kids are running wild. Their kids do as they please. Their kids have no concept whether mom loves them or dad loves them. Money, 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 money. There are children in here that could stand and testify and say, it's all mom and dad seem to want to do. All they care about is money and retirement and their 401k and having a nicer car and a nicer house. And we're looking for money. But wait a minute. We give our love to those things that we love. Should we be giving our love to money, or should we be giving it to our wives? Should we be giving our love to money, or should we be giving it to our husbands? Should we be giving our love to our children, or should we be giving our love to money? You see, it said, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. It's not talking about you dying. It's talking about you giving your life to something because you love that something. Do you love money so much that you give your life to making money, but you do not give your life to ever go out soul winning and try to get somebody saved? Do you love your money so much that you give your life to it, but you don't give your life to obey God about the tithe and the offering? Do you love your money so much that you give your life to it But then you won't turn around and you won't come to church on Sunday. You won't come to church on Sunday night. You won't come to church on Wednesday night. Hey, let me tell you something. If you're to the point where you miss more church than you attend because you're so busy making money, you say, well, I don't love money. You can take that up with God. Do you love money so much that you give your life to it, but you don't have time to serve God at the church? I realize, and you all, if you look up here, you say, well, what do you want us to do? Just quit our jobs? Now, you really think that I think that? No. Can you imagine that God being smart enough and thorough enough to think that you could earn a living and still be faithful to God? Do you think that's possible? You think he might have been able to figure that out when he created the whole concept? Do you think it's God that's boogered it up or you? No, God would want you to go to work and do what you're supposed to do and then be faithful to God at the same time. What do they call it when you can use both your right hand and your left? Ambidextrous. He expected you to be spiritually ambidextrous. Serve God and work. Oh, I've only got one hand. I can only do one. Then I'd pick God if you only do one of the two. But that's not how God planned it. So listen, if you love money, you'll obey it. If you love money, you will give your life to it while other things you should have been giving your life to will be made second and third and some ignored altogether. Number three, if you love money, your decisions in life are going to be all about money. You remember I read this verse. The Bible says in Romans 13:10, love worketh no ill. When we really love something, we don't want to hurt that something. We're not trying to destroy that something. We want to help that something. Now listen, if your decisions in life are all about not hurting your money, then you must love money. Because it says, love worketh no ill. What I love, I don't ever want to see it damaged. Do you love money so much that you will hurt your wife before you will hurt your money? I know times when a husband or wife, they need their spouse, but their spouse isn't about to give up money to do what the needy party in the marriage needs. Well, I would think that you would want to hurt your money before you'd hurt your husband. I would think you'd want to hurt your money before you'd hurt your wife. But when you love something, you want it protected, which means something else that maybe didn't deserve as much protection, which is money, is being put in a prominent spot. Do you love money so much that you will hurt your children before you would hurt your money? And you say, well, I've got to go to work. Yes, I do realize that. But I want you to understand that there are ways that we can both have children and spend time loving on them and make money at the same time. There's a way to do both. Do you love money so much that you will, rather than hurt your financial portfolio, you would rather hurt God? I'll promise you there are people in here that are more concerned about your money than you are your tithe. I promise you there are people in here, you're more concerned about your money then you are your offering. Do you love money so much that you'll hurt your Sunday school class before you'll hurt your money? Do you love your money so much that you'd hurt the bus route before you would hurt your money? Do you love money so much that you would hurt your friends before you would hurt your money? All I'm telling you is, I've heard the verse many, many times, the love of money is the root of all evil. So that means God was saying to me, you better be careful, this thing of loving money. And I got to thinking, okay, I want to think the way God thinks. How does God think? Well, I think I'll study what God considers the characteristics of those things that we love. So I looked at everything and I thought, well, now I'm thinking God's way, because God said if you love something, you obey it. And if you love something, this is how you treat it. This is what you do. And I thought, okay, now I'll reverse that and I'll apply it to money. So I can find out if I'm obeying money, it must mean that I love money. And if it is that I give of myself to money above giving myself to other things, I must love money. It must be that if I'm more concerned about hurting my money than I am hurting other things, that must be another proof that I love money. Because you can ask anybody if they love money. And most of them would say, oh no, no. Well, I'm not asking you. I'm just teaching you what the Bible says. And you let God attend to what goes on in your heart about it. Okay, number four. If you love money, you'll serve it. We read this verse earlier. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now God's saying, you will serve that which you love. I think Brother and Mrs. Elswick love the young people around here. They spend their life serving them. They don't get paid. They're not on salary. But boy, they take them soul winning and take them out to eat and have activities and throw parties and everything. They're serving them. That's a proof of love. But let me ask you this. Do you love money? You say, how would I know? Well, have you become money's servant? I'm amazed at what people will do for money, but that what they wouldn't do for God and God's people. You know, there are people who go out and mow a yard to get $10 but wouldn't come down to the church and mow the yard. There are people that would, hey, at work, if the boss said, go clean the restroom, they'll go clean the restroom. But to come down to the church and clean the restroom, they wouldn't do that. I'm amazed. Have you become money's servant? Are you money's maid? Are you money's butler? Are you money's doorman? Are you money's waiter? Have you become money's chauffeur or maitre d'? Have you become money's valet or stewardess? Are you money's page or slave? Is money the golfer and you're the caddy? Have you become money's water boy? Is money the big thing in your life? Have you become money's bellhop or servant? Do you serve money but not serve God? There are people that will sacrifice and give of themselves to get money. The boss says, I need you to come in at 3. I'll be there. And I say, come back to church on Wednesday night and say, I won't be there. The boss will say, you're going to have to work a double. I'll do it. I need you to come back to church on Sunday night and put in a double on Sunday. Well, I'm not coming. Do you serve money but not go soul winning? Do you serve money but not your mate? Do you serve money, but not your children? Do you serve money, but not your parents? Do you serve money, but not in a ministry? Do you serve money, but not in the bus ministry? Do you serve money, but not in Sunday school? Do you serve money, but not at the church? Hey, you'll get up on Monday morning and be there when they tell you to be there and clock out when it's time to clock out. Why? You want a paycheck. You'll do it on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And they said to you, you can't take your vacation at that time. And you're going to have to do this. And you got to buy that. And say, I'll do it. 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 What do you want me to do? I'll do it. And then you come to church and they can mention money. And they go, what? All I'm saying is, God said there are certain behaviors that are expressed when love is involved. And he said the love of money, and so we've all heard the verse. I don't know if I've ever heard it totally analyzed. But however we express our love to the things that we love, I guess if we're making those expressions to money, it must mean we love money. Number five, if you love money, you look to money for your comfort. Philippians 2:1, we read this earlier. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love. Do you know the things we love bring comfort? I love Mrs. Owens. I want there to be comfort in her life. I try to bring comfort to her. She loves me, so she cooks me food. She loves me, so she would want there to be comfort in my life. I love the people in my church. I want there to be comfort in their life. The thing that you love, it has something to do with comfort. Hey, love comforts. John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now, here the Bible says our comfort comes from the Lord. Our comfort is going to come from right things. Did you know that a druggie looks to their cocaine for their comfort? A druggie looks to their cocaine or their marijuana or whatever it is. They look to that for their comfort. But money lovers look to their money for comfort. Can I prove it to you? Your best day of the week is Friday. You feel more comforted about Friday quitting time when you got your check in your pocket. Don't you? Everything feels a little better right now. You know, God was still on his throne before you got that paycheck. A boozer looks to their alcohol for their comfort. A money lover looks to their money for their comfort. A pill popper looks to their pills for their comfort. A money lover looks to their money for their comfort. A glutton looks to their food for their comfort. A money lover looks to their money for their comfort. A smoker looks to the Marlboro Man for their comfort. But a money lover looks to their money for their comfort. A porno addict looks to their pornography to try to find their comfort. But a money lover looks to their money for their comfort. Money is here today and gone tomorrow. The Holy Spirit of God is here today, yesterday, and forever. That is to where we're to get our comfort. And let me say to all of you, God has a way of humbling America. God made sure America's finances were taken off the top shelf a few years ago. He was hoping that America would look back to God and look up instead of look in their wallet. And I hope you haven't made the mistake. There were people in this room, when you thought America was going to fold financially, you said, oh, we got to get ourselves right with God. We better keep our eyes on God. Hey, Jesus might be coming any moment now. Who knows what all this is going to bring about? But now that the economy's set down, now church is not as important, now it's not as important that we give our money to God. What happened? We took our eyes off the great comforter and we've got them back on our bank accounts, back on our wallets, back on our paycheck, back on our annual income, back on our fancy houses and big cars and expensive clothes. Why? Well, that's what you do with what you love. With what you love. And so, as I studied what love was, I discovered that if you love something, you obey it. I found if you love something, you'll give your life for it. I found if you love something, you won't want to hurt it. If you love something, you'll serve it. If you love something, you get your comfort from it. But not only that. If you love something, you tend to find security in it. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Just so you all know, we are supposed to get our comfort from the Lord. That's why we have verses like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We're supposed to get our security from the Lord. But let me ask you this. Has money become your protector instead of God? Has money become your shepherd instead of Jesus? Has money become your security camera instead of God's ever watchful eye? Has money become your ADT security system instead of the great God of the universe? Has money become your bolt lock instead of God? Has money become your lifeguard instead of Jesus? Has money become your watchdog or your firewall or your lighthouse instead of God? Has money become the flashing lights on the roadside instead of God? Has money become your military instead of heaven? Has money become your police officer, your equalizer? Has it become your security or your metal detector? Has money become your National Guard? Has money become your insurance instead of God? Well, evidently, the Bible teaches that love provides security. And if you and I love something, there's a security produced in that love. If a man and a woman find someone that they love, there's a security by being together. There's something about it. It provides a security. But wait, how much of life security are you getting from green stuff? Looking for it. Is that your security? That's not supposed to be our security. God said, be careful now. There's a way you behave when you love something. And not only that, when you love, you labor. And we all know that. The Bible speaks in Hebrews 16 about our labor of love. Now, don't misunderstand this point. We are to labor to get money. But the problem is, we will not labor for things we ought to while we're busy laboring for money. Do you know that money is not the only thing in life for which you are to work? You know you're to work at your marriage. Y'all want some help with your marriage? Work at it! I'll tell you what the problem is. Too busy making money. Work 60, 70 hours a week, but your marriage is not good. Gotta get that money. Gotta have that money. I'd rather be poor and have a decent marriage. What would you say, why? Because that's most important. You let the world mess up your philosophies. We're to work at it. You will labor. There is a labor in love. You love your children, then you're going to labor in rearing them. You might have to turn some overtime down and go play ball with your boy so he doesn't throw like a girl. Does your love for money motivate you to labor? But you don't labor at being a good husband. You don't labor at being a good wife. You don't labor at being a good father. You don't labor at being a good son or a good daughter. Now to make money, you put something into that. We'll labor to get money and then labor to be a good church member? Do you work at it? Do you labor at being a good Christian or being a good soul winner? To the average Christian, money is in first place in their life and church is second, third, fourth place maybe. We can work it in. I think we ought to love the right things. I don't think you ought to ever choose money over your wife. You should never choose money over your husband. You should not choose money over your children. You should not choose money over your church. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'm not real sure that... How would you feel if I came to you and said, folks, I got to tell you, I have a church in California. They're offering me three times as much as what you pay me. And as you can see, I'm leaving and I'm going to pastor that church in California. You'd say, wait a minute, pastor. So you want to come tell me the same thing? Then how do you want me to treat you? Should I say, sure, that's okay, go for it? Or should I maybe say, since when do you pick the will of God based on money? Be careful. Behavior proves love. Some people think that the word love is just a noun. Now, the word love is used as a noun in the Bible and here and there, but so you know, God intended the word love to be a verb. Action. Your behavior. There are men here, if you turned to your wife today and said, honey, I love you more than anything in the world, she'd say, yeah, sure. Why? Behavior. Talk's cheap. Some of you say, I love the Lord with all my heart. And the Lord says, sure. Sure didn't seem that way last time we had church and you didn't show up. You stayed home and watched television. Words are easy. Actions. I'd like to be able to say to the Lord, Lord, I love you. And him look back and say, you know, you didn't have to say so. You didn't have to say so. I just read the verse, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I just read that and I thought, you know, there's more to this verse than us walking around saying, love of money is the root of all evil. Love of money is the root of all evil. No, I think we prove our love to money by our behavior toward it when it gets the emotion and the action that God expected that we'd be giving to others and to Him and to His church and to His cause. We love money more than we love the things we ought. So the sermon today is called, Do You Love Your Money? You say, Preacher, are you against money? No, I'm for it. I want you to make money. I want you to succeed. I know somebody that makes more than you that comes to church faithfully. I know people that are worth millions and millions and millions. And they go soul winning and teach Sunday school classes and they're faithful to church. Oh, can't do that. Yeah, well, if they can and make millions, you could and make your $30,000 a year. Be careful that you don't love something more than you ought. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're not saved, might I recommend to you salvation today? Here's the question. If you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? If you say, Preacher, I don't know. I don't know I'm going to heaven. Then let us pray for you. Let me pray for you. Who here would say, Preacher, if I died today, I don't know for a fact I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand and say, Pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Who here could raise your hand and say, I'm saved. I know God saved me. Could you raise your hand and let God see it? Say, I'm saved. I know it. God bless you. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Who here with uplifted hand would say, Preacher, God's given me something to think on here in regard to this money thing. I certainly listened to what was said, and God has spoken to my heart about my relationship to God and money. Has God spoken to you? Could you raise your hand? There are hands up already. God bless you. Amen. You may put your hand down. We're going to have an altar call. Some of you, it might be good if you pray. Now we're to the point where, of course, we're in a money-raising campaign. Some of you ought to pray about what God would have you to do. You ought to pray about what can you give. If you need the altar, we're going to ask you to come. We won't be long. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need time at the altar? Maybe you need to come and pray, say, Lord, what would you have me to do financially? But some, you need to get right with God about your finances. People in here, you've got to get your finances under control just in how you handle them. One of our dear missionaries that we support here today, you'd love to give to missions, but you're just paying so much for all your toys in life, you don't give to missions. That ought to be corrected in your life. And I'm not against you having toys as long as you're giving properly, like you ought to. God bless you, folks. Have a seat real quick. We have some decisions that we want to get taken care of right away.